Today's edition of the Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Caller podcast for the 12th of May, 2020. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Thank you for listening, tuning in, telling a friend. Not tuning in. You don't really tune anything. If it's out of tune, it's because I can't sing. Thanks for spreading the word and all that good stuff and subscribing and rating, reviewing on iTunes and all that good stuff. The numbers keep growing like a fungus, and it's all because of you. Another action-packed program for you today, as we have every day. It's been like, what, 2 weeks since Georgia opened, and there has not yet been a return of the plague, or at least a mass spread of the plague. The thing's gonna spread. It's gonna spread just because that's what it does. Until it's dead, it spreads. That's gonna happen. It's whether or not it kills life in the act of taking lives. And some states are saying we're not going to allow that to happen, while others simply aren't ready to do that. So we shall see. Someday we're going to have to really find a way to express our gratitude toward the states that bravely went first. The states that stood up and said, we're going to go into the pool. We're going to go into the ocean. There's a shark out there, yes, but we're going to go into the ocean anyway and see how it is. So thanks to them. Like I said, the data should be coming in. There should, and you're going to hear things. Keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen, the numbers game that I always talk about. It's going to get funky because a lot of blue states are not ready to open. They're refusing to open. A lot of red states have opened. Always, always note the difference between a percentage increase and the raw number increase. If you're looking at certain states, especially the states, the red states that have opened, particularly in the plains states, the Dakotas, I don't even know, what is that region, North Plains? I don't know. The Dakotas, the Montanas, the Wyoming, states like that, where they are opening, they had very, very, very low numbers to begin with. So if you see, well, they've spiked 100%. Okay, what does that mean? Did it go from 1 million cases to 2 million cases? Because in that case, that's a huge hell of a spike and dangerous and tells you something. But if it went from 25 to 50 or 50 to 100, that tells you something different. It also could be sort of chalked up to increased testing, which states are doing and the federal government is ramping up to do even more of. So it's always important to note the difference between raw numbers and percentages, and you can always count on the media to choose to report whichever one happens to best fit their narrative. So be aware of that going forward, because there's no question that there is a lot of wiggle room in the way that things can be reported. And both would be, you know, honest and, well, not honest, but both would be accurate. So be aware of that, because I suspect that we're going to get a lot of that sort of suspicious percentage increase numbers of the spikes in cases, if there are any to report. They'll find a way to report something. Hospitalizations are up 40%. Okay, yeah, it went from 10 to 14 people. That's not to be unexpected. And there's no way to show that it is because of reopening. That being said, there's some, you know, I wouldn't say disturbing, but certainly unnerving video of some places out there where the places are just packed. A restaurant in Texas, packed with people. It shows the pent-up frustration and the need for human beings to interact with other human beings. It's not particularly a trait that I have, but I've heard tales of other people liking to be around other people. I'm just kidding. As the cat destroys the kid's chair. But it'll be interesting to see how this goes over, how this is reported, because it's a big deal to get the country moving again, even a little bit. Doesn't matter. When you're stuck in mud, if you've ever been stuck in mud or snow, and you're just not going anywhere, you're spinning your wheels, and you're out there and you're throwing kitty litter in the snow or the dirt, and you're putting pieces of wood under the tires to get the car out of there, you really need to get it moving in the first place. Once it gets moving, you keep it moving until you're out. But the starting of the movement is the biggest, most difficult pain in the ass you could ever imagine. And the economy moving in Georgia, in Florida, in Texas, in Montana, in wherever they're opening, Colorado, is wildly important for all of us. It A, shows us the way, and B, makes it easier, gets our inertia going to get us moving too. So wish them well. Fingers crossed. Let's just hope that, because the worst thing I think that could happen is you restart the economy, you reopen the economy, and then you got to shut it down again. And a panicky politician is going to be the worst thing you could possibly imagine right now. Somebody who goes, oh, no, wait, we got a spike, we got to go. It's worse than a hesitant politician where, like here where I am in Maryland, Maryland has a couple of hot spots around Washington, D.C., the county surrounding Washington, D.C., because nothing good comes out of Washington, D.C., just disease, and around Baltimore and north of Baltimore City in Baltimore County. The rest of the state is doing pretty damn well. The Eastern Shore, aside from what they call a flare-up in the poultry factories over there, because apparently there's a lot of chicken farms over on the Eastern Shore, they're doing remarkably well as well. But the poultry farmers are being used, the outbreak there in a poultry plant is being used to stifle the rest of the Eastern Shore, saying, well, we've got this spike here, so the number of cases on the Eastern Shore are up, and therefore we have to pull back. No, the hot spots are very, very, very localized. The rest of the Eastern Shore is perfectly fine. Some governors, it's weird. Some governors are content to have a county-by-county opening, which makes sense if it's a big geographic state, you know, a giant land mass, and you have a concentration in a couple of major cities, and you look and you say, well, we can open the rest of the state or the northern part of the state, but the city of Philadelphia, for example, is still a hot spot, so we've got to keep that area contained. Why does somebody in Appalachia have to be concerned or locked at home because something's going down in Philadelphia? When I was living in Baltimore, I guess I just moved out of Baltimore, the Freddie Gray riots happened, right? The Freddie Gray riots, they spurred up, sections of the city were burning, a lot of other sections of the city weren't being looted, the pharmacies were being looted. They put the city under curfew. What they didn't do was put the state under curfew. Now, why? It's the most populous city in the state. It's, you know, surrounded by the rest of the state. Why wouldn't you put the entire state on lockdown? Well, because it didn't make any sense. The problem was very, very localized in the city of Baltimore. So you didn't lock down the whole state. That makes sense. That sort of logic should be applied in the case of coronavirus. If you want to be more cautious in certain areas, fine, absolutely. That's what you want to do, that's fine. Leave it up to the various counties, or even the governor can decide on a county-by-county basis. But to sit there and say you, rural county, have to stay closed because densely populated city is not ready to go, doesn't make any sense. That brings us to the governor of Pennsylvania. That's why I mentioned Philadelphia. That is the area, the region where the state is hardest hit, and the majority of the state's numbers come from. Well, yesterday, the governor of Pennsylvania made clear he doesn't care. He tweets out, "I won't sit back and watch residents who live in counties under stay-at-home orders get sick because local leaders cannot see the risks of COVID-19 and push to reopen prematurely. Today, I am announcing consequences for counties that do not abide by the law to remain closed. Non-compliant counties won't be eligible for federal stimulus discretionary funds. Instead, those funds will be allocated to counties working to stop the spread of COVID-19. He's basically saying if your county is fine and, you know, you can be a couple of hundred miles away from these major cities Pennsylvania has that are Pittsburgh and Philadelphia mostly. If you don't sit there and twiddle your thumbs and watch your business and your livelihood self-destruct because Governor Tom Wolf decides that he's not ready to go, well, then screw you, pal. You're going to get screwed out of federal funds that will try to help you rebuild. Well, I think that the federal government should say, okay, great. That just means less counties we have to send money to. So, pull back on what you're sending Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. Governor Wolf continues, businesses should know that opening in counties that don't abide by the law will potentially jeopardize their business liability insurance or the protections it provides. He's threatening everybody. Threatening. He's using the power of government. I will screw you over. Doesn't matter what your situation is. To hell with you. Dine-in restaurants that open in counties that have not been authorized to reopen will risk receiving a citation. Those citations could ultimately lead to the loss of a restaurant's liquor license. This guy has really let the power go to his head. See, there are two types of people in an emergency situation. People who rise to the occasion and people who get overcome by the occasion. Governor Wolf has allowed some counties to open up. Not all counties. And he has decided, based on his own arbitrary criteria, which ones are allowed. And it's weird how the less blue counties are in rural areas are the ones being hurt by his order. He has gone power mad. Lose your liquor license? Really, this is what you have time to deal with? This is what you have time to focus on, Governor. Shouldn't you be focusing your energy and resources towards where the most people who are sick are concentrated, i.e. Philadelphia mostly? If your county reopens prematurely and you don't feel comfortable returning to work, rest assured that the Commonwealth will allow you to continue to receive unemployment compensation even if your employer reopens. Again, a liberal's wet dream. Don't worry about going back to work. Don't restart your life. Now, there are some people who are legitimately concerned, particularly the older people, particularly those with pre-existing health conditions. It's understandable, but this is not targeted towards them. This is targeted toward anybody who just has to say the magic words, "I feel scared." So you can keep riding the government gravy train. Get your government cheese endlessly. It's weird. Liberals love this concept of magic words. You cross into the United States and you're just here for whatever reason. Doesn't matter. You don't have a plan. You just want to come here. You got family here. You're coming to stay with, to try and get a job. You're an illegal alien. Normally, you would be deported immediately. But thanks to liberals, all they have to do is say that I am seeking asylum. I feel afraid for my life back home, and you get to stay. You get to stay until your case is adjudicated, which is, you know, months or years down the road. You get released into the wild. You can go about your business. You just have to utter those magic words. And in Pennsylvania, in order to continue to receive unemployment benefits, all you've got to say is, I'm scared to go back to work. It's not to belittle people who legitimately are, but I went to high school with, and hell, I used to be one of the people who would look at this and go, you mean I can keep not working for, you know, 3/4 pay or $600 extra until the end of July or whenever that stupid federal program runs out? Oh yeah, I'm scared. I'm scared to go out. I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna keep hammering checks. That's what the governor is hoping for. That it's the governor of Pennsylvania is important because Pennsylvania is a key state for the reelection campaign of the president. If they are suffering from a slow economy, a slower economy than they otherwise would have by the governor's actions, which I suspect they will be, that damages the president. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, why, Derek? The governor didn't, or the governor did this. The president didn't do anything. How well do you think that fact is going to be reported? How thoroughly do you think that fact is going to be reported to the people? Not very well. And the governor will be right there to blame the president of the United States while calling for a bailout. Oh, now you're going to cut unemployment benefits. I guarantee you, this is coming. Mark my words. Today is the 12th day of May 2020. I guarantee you, when the $600 federal bonus for unemployment insurance runs out, there are going to be calls to expand it, to extend it, to continue it, and calls to expand it, extend it, and continue it will refer to it as a cut. You are cutting benefits to these people who are in this situation through no fault of their own. That's going to be the argument, and it's probably going to work. I'm just going out on a limb here right now. It's probably going to work. Republicans will cave. Republicans will be afraid of being portrayed as these mean people who want to cut off the poor as we build up to an election. There will be very little, some, but very little discussion, mostly lip service paid to the idea that they are incentivizing not working. Nobody's going to point that out too sternly, or Rand Paul or a Mike Lee will. But in general, very few other people will because they're afraid. And so what will happen? The federal government, as part of some gigantic grand bargain, will say, all right, we'll continue to throw in the extra $600 for another, well, 6 months, because you got to get it past the election, because Republicans won't want to have to deal with this again. And that will continue incentivizing people not working when their jobs could be available. Then I suspect that they will use that argument to try and say, we need more immigrants because Americans, there's so many jobs available that Americans won't do. It's all a total scam. My God, when you're not bound by reality, you can do anything. And the reason I'm bringing up Pennsylvania is because I want to parlay this right into the governor of New York. Governor Blood on his hands. Is there a bigger media fraud on the face of the earth than Andrew Cuomo and the exaltation, the canonization of Andrew Cuomo? Hallowed be thy name. Amen. Can I get an amen, Andrew Cuomo? Yes, please. We'll get into that. First, I got to tell you about Life Change Tea, lifechangetea.com. Well, you know, one of the reviewers on iTunes, I'm looking at the reviews on iTunes, and thanks to all of you who wrote the kind words, but somebody just gave a 1-star review. Stop talking about the damn tea. No, I'm not going to stop talking about the damn tea because the damn tea is damn good tea. You go to getthetea.com. You choose your flavor of Life Change Tea or any of the other products they have right there. You throw it in your cart and you enter promo code Derek at checkout. Click the apply button and boom, blam, there you go. Free, fast shipping. Getthetea.com. It helps you go, gets you more energy, it cleans you out. It's the tea that makes you go, as they say. So no, I'm not going. And they came to me and they said, what about this stuff? And I was like, I don't know about a sponsor for these guys. Never heard of them, don't know anything about it. They sent me the tea and boy howdy does it work. And so I was in. It's the same company that does Ancient Life Oil, the CBD. They're a great company, great products. You guys have been trying it, and you like it, according to the emails you send me. I don't know why you'd lie in an email to me. So you go to getthetea.com. Try it for yourself. You'll thank me for it. You support the sponsors. You support the show. And you're taking care of yourself and your business. You get more energy as your body is able to absorb more of the nutrition in the food that you eat. Getthetea.com. Don't forget promo code Derek and clicking apply at checkout, because that gets you the free shipping and it lets you know that you heard about it here on the program. Now we get to Governor Senior Slaughter. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, is enjoying the most popularity he's ever had in his life, including amongst his family. His approval ratings for handling of coronavirus are in the 80s. More than 80% of New Yorkers think he's doing a wonderful job. So wonderful, so beautiful, such a genius, such a contrast to that oaf in the Oval Office, Donald Trump. The problem is that there is really nobody more responsible for more deaths in this country from COVID-19 than Andrew Cuomo. If we're being honest, he has more blood on his hands than anybody else in the country. Not talking about the entirety of the state, although I'd imagine he deserves a good chunk of that. I'm talking specifically about the senior citizens in the state of New York. Let's get in the Wayback Machine, shall we? Go back to a crazy time called March 25th, 2020. An executive order issued by the state of New York and the Department of Health. It's called Advisory, Hospital Discharges and Admissions to Nursing Homes. Okay, so you read it and you get down to paragraph 5. And this part is the first part is underlined, meaning pay special attention to this, you nursing home people. Quote, no resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home solely based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. What does that mean? Well, the next sentence, nursing homes are prohibited from requiring a hospitalized resident who is determined medically stable to be tested for COVID-19 prior to admission or readmission. That's the next sentence. The two of those sentences together constitute a paragraph, and that paragraph constitutes the deaths of at least 5,000 senior citizens to date. See, Democrats want to pin all of this on Donald Trump. They say he dithered, he wasn't locking down the country. Well, at the time, the president was making moves to protect the country, such as the travel ban from China and then the travel ban from Europe. These very same people were decrying those moves as racist and or reactionary. Andrew Cuomo was doing nothing. Eventually, he got around to saying, again, back on March 25th, 2020, that nursing homes, you have to take in patients that are COVID-19 positive. Deal with it. It is unlawful. You will lose your business. You will be penalized. You will be punished if you do not comply with my order. Well, guess what happened? When you order people infected with a disease, a highly contagious disease, into a confined space with a population very susceptible, the most susceptible to that very disease, guess what happens? It spreads like wildfire. That's what happened in New York. 5,000 deaths directly attributed to Governor Blood on his hands. And he's a hero with higher than 80% approval rating. How does that happen? Well, it happens because Andrew Cuomo was cast by the media as the anti-Trump. It also helps that his brother has a primetime show on CNN, and he can go on there and they can jerk each other off every couple of nights and joke about who mom loved best and blah, blah, blah. Their mom isn't in a nursing home. She doesn't have to be worried about being sentenced to death by her son like other people's parents have to worry about and did experience. It is a testament to the power of the media. I say this all the time, that, oh, you sit there and you can wrap yourself in a comfort blanket of saying that Fox News is way more popular than CNN or MSNBC. And it's true. Fox News is way more popular than CNN or MSNBC, and most nights the two of them combined. That doesn't change basic math elsewhere. Fox, on an average to good night, can get 3 to 3.5 million viewers. In a nation of 330 million people and 180 million voters, that is a tiny, tiny fraction of the population. Whereas the nightly newscasts on ABC, CBS, and NBC, they reach more than 10 million each. They have a much wider reach. They have a much bigger social media footprint because the tech giants of Facebook and Twitter favor their posts over posts from Fox News or conservative websites. So you see, they have a much bigger advantage in spreading their gospel to the masses, which means that Fox News, while the most popular cable channel, and certainly the most popular cable news channel, is essentially the tallest midget when it comes up against the rest of the media. So for every Tucker monologue about how huge of a failure Andrew Cuomo has been throughout this, and he has been a huge failure, and Tucker has pointed it out, there are 15 to 20 more people who will see a puff piece or clips selected for their effectiveness from an Andrew Cuomo press conference that the media strangely decides to cover and think is national newsworthy and carrying live, than we'll ever hear Tucker Carlson speak. It's a testament to the power of the media. This is why Andrew Breitbart used to talk about the need to not defeat the media, not beat them. 2016 election, we beat them. But the importance of destroying them. They have to be destroyed. The glowing, drooling, I told you yesterday, I think I did, about Andrew Cuomo and the puff piece from ABC News about how you can buy Andrew Cuomo's face on your socks and you can buy Cuomo's sexual sweaters and it's just a wonderful thing. And oh my God, he's such a dreamboat. He was voted New York State's most eligible man. That's how pathetic the media coverage has been about a guy whose own order led to the death of more than 5,000 senior citizens. And you add to that the fact that just last week he discovered that you can clean the subway cars. Just last week. What the hell has he been doing? Well, he's spent a lot of time getting his butt sniffed by a compliant, loving media. Lest you think that Cuomo is the only governor with blood on their hands, let's venture back to Pennsylvania. Turns out that on March 18th, 2020, Governor Wolf of Pennsylvania issued his own executive order. Now you can see why that maybe the governor of Pennsylvania is a little gun shy, a little concerned, a little thing, because this executive order is entitled Interim Guidance for Nursing Home Facilities During COVID-19. Whoa, what's going on here? Says right down there under the subheading admissions/discharges, quote, nursing care facilities must continue to accept new admissions and receive readmissions for current residents who have been discharged from the hospital who are stable to alleviate the increasing burden in the acute care setting. This may include stable patients who have had the COVID-19 virus. also includes patients who are recommended or suspected or confirmed COVID-19 cases. Again, Governor Wolf did the exact same thing as New York. He did it a few days earlier, did it a week earlier, but he did it nonetheless. What is it with these Democrats ordering sick people back to senior care facilities to infect more and more people? Why does that happen? Why would anybody do that? Now, both the governor of Pennsylvania and the governor of New York, in their orders, made mention of the desire to keep hospitals as empty as possible so that the really sick can get in there. On the surface, that seems to make some logical sense. Obviously, if somebody has COVID-19, they're early in it, they've just been diagnosed, they aren't showing very many serious symptoms, they're, you know, for all intents and purposes, on paper, okay. And you're sending other people who are okay back to their homes and telling them to isolate in their own homes for 15 days, why wouldn't you do the same to senior citizens? Send them back to their nursing home, and you just say, all right, don't worry about it. You just stay there. You're doing fine. If you get worse, your fever spikes, whatever, trouble breathing, then you can come back, and we will take care of you. The difference is your home, your individual home, is your individual home. You're still putting your family at risk, and you should likely isolate yourself in a part of your house, even just a room of your house. But senior citizens in nursing home and long-term care facilities do not have that luxury. It's not the villages where everybody has their own home. So you need to interact with staff. People in long-term care facilities need long-term care. The virus is spread that way. People died because of it. Now, they emptied the hospitals as best they could in preparation for a flood of patients that never really came. That's the problem. New York and Pennsylvania and Michigan, oh, they saw an increase in the number of patients, no doubt. They never reached capacity. They never risked collapse. So, in preparation for something that did not happen, they ended up making the situation worse. Now, a great many of those 5,000 patients that Governor Cuomo essentially, I mean, let's use their, the Democrats set these rules, that Cuomo's executive order killed, ended up back in the hospital. So they ended up creating a need for more beds, a use of more beds through his wanton willy-nilly orders that he just pushed out there, likely in a panic. I don't think he did it out of malice. I think he did it out of panic. And it goes back to those really, really bad computer models that said the hospital systems are going to collapse. And the same things that told him that they were going to need 40,000 ventilators in the state of New York when they never came close to 40,000 ventilators in the state of New York. Yet he, Cuomo, is being praised as a genius, a competent leader for the times that we need. Robert De Niro was on with Stephen Colbert the other day talking about how he is he's the most presidential person out there right now, certainly better than our oafish president of the United States, who, by the way, ordered zero senior citizens infected with coronavirus to return to nursing homes. Bobby De Niro seems to have a weird definition of what presidential is. Then we go to Michigan, just for fun, just because Governor Adolf Whitmer, Gretchen Whitmer there, Governor Adolf Whitler, is on the short list for Joe Biden's vice presidential pick. Her executive order is COVID-19 guidance for health care facilities for discharge of residents. What goes on here? Well, it turns out that she did the exact same thing. She ordered senior citizens infected with COVID-19 back into assisted living and nursing home facilities. She, considering the amount of praise that Andrew Cuomo is getting, this could be a big boon to Governor Whitler's hopes of getting out of the state of Michigan and becoming the vice presidential nominee of her party. It should be the death knell. This should put an end to all discussion about how competent she is, about how wonderful she is. These people exacerbated Whitmer, Wolf, Cuomo. Their actions made things worse, yet they are all universally praised for their actions in this by the very same media that accuses Donald Trump of having blood on his hands. Are you sickened yet? If you don't have coronavirus, you just have media virus, and it is enough to make you really, really sick to your stomach. Speaking of wanting to make you puke, back to Governor Blood on his hands. Yesterday at his daily briefing that the media, if Time Magazine is freaking streaming Andrew Cuomo's daily briefings. Time Magazine, we shouldn't cover Donald Trump, he lies too much. But here's the governor of New York. Why? Because A, all media is based out of New York, and B, they hate Donald Trump and they've created a monster. Well, that monster is really, he knows how to pander to the press, if you will. I want you to listen to this clip of Governor Blood on his hands and see if you notice anything about it. It's only 20 seconds long, and there are a couple of things worthy of note in here that are interesting that could be viewed as either wildly incompetent or pandering to the liberal media. And I understand if you think that it's quite possible and indeed probable that it's both because of who both parties are. But give it a listen.
When we started this, yes, we have more cases than anyone else. Yes, we had this European virus attack us and nobody expected it. But we're not only going to change our trajectory, we're going to change the trajectory more dramatically than any place else in the nation.
Now, you might have missed it. You might have missed it. But there were two things in there. The last part I'll start with first. We're going to change our trajectory more than any place in the nation. Well, you're the hardest hit place in the nation. There's nowhere to go but up, Governor. So, yeah, that statement clearly is true. We've got the highest murder rate in the country. So we're going to make the most dramatic improvements ever. Yeah, because you got the highest. You got the worst. You're the worst. You're the most infected. So there's nowhere to go but up. But that's not the really particularly egregious part, although egregious that is. The part where he called it the European virus. Did you catch that? The European virus. Listen to that clip again. And right in the middle there, this European virus.
When we started this, yes, we have more cases than anyone else. Yes, we had this European virus attack us and nobody expected it. But we're not only going to change our trajectory, we're going to change the trajectory more dramatically than any place else in the nation.
Nobody expects the European virus. This is not a European virus. This is out of China, thereby making it a Chinese virus. It was born there, and from there it sprang. It's just interesting that the media that was red, blood red with anger over Donald Trump for calling it the Wuhan virus and the China virus, both of which they'd spent the previous month calling it, became angry beyond belief, like a spurned lover, when Donald Trump and Republicans started using the phrase that they had popularized. He was denounced as racist. My entire segments of press briefings to inform the country about how to protect itself from this scourge were dedicated not to how to protect the country and its residents from this scourge, but how it was that the President of the United States could dare call it a China virus, a Wuhan virus. Doesn't he realize how racist that is? Doesn't he realize how many hateful hate attacks that that's going to cause? This cannot be allowed to stand. It must never be allowed to stand. And now, here is their own Frankenstein's monster, the darling that they built up, calling it a European virus. Nobody on the face of the earth, save for the Chinese Communist government, is claiming that this is a European virus. They've also claimed that it is a U.S. virus. They are trying to blame anybody but themselves. And it would appear that Governor Andrew Cuomo, Governor Blood on his hands, is more than happy to comply with his fellow travelers and comrades in arms in the Communist Party. Can you believe that anybody, any adult, would say something that stupid? This European virus? Give me a break. Where will the panels be convened on cable news tonight, denouncing the governor of the state of New York for ascribing nationality to this? Will there be task forces formed to protect European immigrants from hate crime assaults and everything that we've been told must, shall, and will most definitely follow the attribution of nationality to a pandemic, to a virus? Will the same standards apply? Of course they won't. I'm just being hyperbolic. We all know these people are full of crap. We all know they're frauds. We all know they're a damn joke. But to be so blatant about it, to have Andrew Cuomo out there with this European vibe, what is the benefit to Andrew Cuomo for saying something so laughably stupid? Well, he knows that the mainstream media likely won't cover it. It'll probably make Fox News, which means that it may end up being in a Trump tweet, which then once again creates the narrative, the structure that Andrew Cuomo thrives in. The only one, because he doesn't particularly thrive in doing his job unless his job as governor of New York is secretly to kill seniors. I don't know. I haven't read the New York State Constitution, but it will pit again Andrew Cuomo versus Donald Trump. Makes him the good guy in the eyes of the liberal media. So in that sense, it's a win for Andrew Cuomo. It's asinine. It's stupid. It's wildly offensive. It is contrary to every known fact on the face of the earth, but it's good for him politically. So what the hell? God, it's good to be a Democrat. At least it must be. Okay, I want to finish the program on a couple of things. I'm going to warn you right now, if you're sensitive to swearing, obscene language, four-letter words, five-letter words, or made-up words that are intended, that are made up with the very intention of being more obscene than those currently available in the English language, you should probably stop listening to today's show right now, because it's going to get sweary. There, you're gone if you're uptight. You can go ahead and leave a negative review somewhere. I want to talk about these fuck nuggets on the White House press corps. These people who are up there for no good reason whatsoever other than to get their ugly ass faces on television. There was yet another exchange. Now, I tell you, I ask you, have you ever seen anything remotely close to what I'm about to play for you at a press conference for any Democrat whatsoever? You've got a knuckle-dragging douchebag running the state of Virginia who won't say whether or not he was the Klansman or the guy in blackface in his medical school yearbook. Not his high school yearbook, not even his college yearbook, if they do those things. I don't know why medical schools do yearbooks, but that would put him in his senior year at medical school, provided he went straight through. He would be 26, right? graduate college at 22, 3-4 years of medical school, 26, 25 at the youngest, 27 at the latest. If by the age of 27, you have not formulated in your gray matter that it's fucking stupid to dress up like a Klansman and or in blackface, you should not be anywhere near people who have once sniffed the throne of power, let alone have the levers of power. You'll probably just chew on them or sit on them or something like that because you're that fucking stupid. That is a Democrat. He is now reported on as if he were a serious member of society and had never done anything wildly inappropriate. It's gone. It's been memory-holed, or ass-holed, basically, because they shove their things where their heads normally are. It's like their purse, these Democrats. But the President of the United States comes out in the middle of a pandemic, and the people in the White House press corps, and there aren't very many of them, are free to ask questions of the President of the United States at a time when the people of the country would like to hear from the President of the United States, would like to ascertain information from the President of the United States about the reopening, about the federal government's plans going forward, about the fact that we've just spent $6 trillion fucking dollars, and what are we going to do now? What are we going to do next? How do we pull out of this thing? And what comes after it? And these piles of human excrement. Choose your orifice. I don't care what orifice that excrement comes out of. It is spewed forth and taken bipedal humanoid form in the form of three reporters, Yamiche Alcindor, Caitlin Collins, and Weijin Zhang of CBS News. They have all made complete ass clowns of themselves at every opportunity they've ever had to attend what should be an honor, to serve as the conduit through which the questions of the people of the United States are asked of the President of the United States. Instead, these fucking idiots are there trying to create viral moments, trying to get their faces, which are nothing to write home about, on as many TV and computer screens across the country in the hopes of extending their contracts, I assume, going forward. Quinn is here. She's dressed as Anna. Daddy's swearing a lot. What do you think of these morons in the White House press corps?
Oh, no, Daddy Juice and Pink Blanket.
Yes, exactly. Okay, go back and finish the Lego movie. All right, she's left the room again. These little fuck nuggets are out there. They're going, oh, Mr. President. Remember the last, 2 months? Mr. President, when are we going to have more testing? When are we going to have more testing? When are we going to have more testing? What's going on with testing? Why don't we have more testing? We're not testing as many people as the other countries. Testing, testing, testing. We need testing. We need testing. Why does this country have more testing than us? Why don't we have more testing? Testing, testing, testing. They sound like a fucking broken record. So now, per capita, we are testing more than anybody in the world. Congratulations to us. It's a big deal to the left. But suddenly, as soon as we achieve this goal, it becomes less important. It's weird, isn't it? These little fuckers are out there going, whoa, why? Listen to Weijin Zhang of CBS News. Ask the President of the United States the dumbest fucking question you could ever possibly imagine. It's like she suffered a closed head injury while drinking grain alcohol right from a bathtub, doing brain damage on top of brain damage. She was the one, by the way, who said, somebody said that they called it the Kung Flu to me. And when asked who it was, she wouldn't say who it was. Well, somebody said the Kung Flu. It was horribly offensive. They're so mean and racist. Well, who is this monster? I can't say. I won't say. Why? Because they don't exist. It's been more than a month. I think it's been 2 months since this bitch said, well, somebody said the Kung Flu to me. And remember, Yamiche Alcindor asked the president about it at the press conference. And he said, who said it? And she goes, well, I don't know. Nobody knows who said this to them. The White House, every square inch of the White House grounds is covered in cameras. Somebody walks up to Weijin Zhang and says, hey, Kung Flu, points at him like they're fucking Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. Hey, baby, thing I like about Kung Flu is you get older and they stay the same temperature. And she won't say who it is. Nobody saw that. Nobody witnessed anything. It's because it's a lie. It's because Wei Jinsheng is a liar. She happens to have been born in China, and she treats that as if it's both an accomplishment, with which she had nothing to do, and a hindrance, which she doesn't fully explain how or why. She's had such a poor, put-upon life and such a victim life that she ends up the fucking White House correspondent for CBS News. Cry me a fucking river. Well, after all this harping on testing, Wei Jinsheng decides that she needs to know why the president is viewing this as a competition, because the president says we're now testing more than anybody else. Well, yes, in raw numbers, we are. But that's not good enough for these pieces of dog shit. Listen to this exchange, and the president gets enough of this. Caitlin Collins from CNN was next, and she refuses to ask her questions. She instead yields to her colleague. God, the word fucking colleague is so just annoying. People who use that word should be slapped. Let's be choked, something, fired, thrown out, laughed at. Oh, it's my colleague, my colleague. Your colleagues are people you directly work with in the same company, not somebody in the same fucking field. Oh, you know what? My colleague in the radio business out on the West Coast, somebody I never fucking met in my life, never heard of, don't know who they are. I'm sorry for the loss of my colleague. I don't know the fuck they are. I don't know who they were. I don't know what they do. I don't know anything about them. I don't feel a kinship with them. Oh, we're in the secret brotherhood of this, that, or the other thing, or my podcasting colleague so-and-so, or such-and-such. Fuck no. They don't give a shit about me, and I don't give a shit about them. They don't listen to me, and I don't listen to them, and it's fine that way. We do our shows for our respective audiences, and that's it. We're not colleagues. There's no convention. We don't go to the Hilton by the airport and get drunk and call whores at 2 o'clock in the morning. We have nothing to do with each other. But they're all colleagues in the press, you see. When they're united against Donald Trump, they're all colleagues. When they're united by a code of ethics, they don't even know each other. They weren't in town that month, because there is no code of ethics in journalism. Listen to this piece of shit. Try and make a racial issue out of the president of the United States politely and cleanly. Tell her to go fuck herself when she asks a stupid question designed to inform or educate no human being on the face of the earth.
Please.
You said many times that the U.S. is doing far better than any other country when it comes to testing.
Yes.
Why does that matter? Why is this a global competition to you if everyday Americans are still losing their lives and we're still seeing more cases every day?
Well, they're losing their lives everywhere in the world. And maybe that's a question you should ask China. Don't ask me. Ask China that question, okay? When you ask them that question, you may get a very unusual answer. Yes, behind you, please.
What, sir, why are you saying that to me specifically?
I'm telling you. I'm not saying it specifically to anybody. I'm saying it to anybody that would ask a nasty question like that.
That's not a nasty question.
Please go ahead.
Why does it matter?
Okay. Anybody else? Please, go ahead in the back, please.
I have two questions.
No, it's okay.
But you pointed to me. I have two questions, Mr. President.
Next. Next, please.
But you didn't. You called on me.
I did, and you didn't respond, and now I'm calling on the young lady in the back, please.
I just wanted to let my colleague finish, okay. But can I ask you
Ladies and gentlemen, please? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And from there, the president walked off. Wei Jinsheng, with a smug sense of satisfaction, thinking, ooh, I've chased the president off the stage. Yet you were an asshole in front of the whole country. Congratulations. God, these fucking morons. I swear to God, if merit mattered in journalism, all of these people would be starving to death. If merit mattered in most fields, all of these people would be starving to death. But merit doesn't matter anymore. It's a willingness to go out there and do the bidding of whoever your boss is. How big of an ass are you willing to make of yourself? Do you think Jim Acosta has his job because he does it better than anybody else? When was the last scoop you remember Jim Acosta getting? Or any of these fucking morons? Any of them. Wei Jinsheng, breaking today, CBS's Wei Jinsheng reports this scoop, and nothing, never. Caitlin Collins, my God, we've never heard it. You've broken the biggest story. Never, nothing, zero, zilch. Yamiche Alcindor, you wouldn't know who she was if she wasn't making an asshole out of herself. If she wasn't being a total prick at the White House press briefing, you would have never heard any of these people's names because they are unremarkable. They are the worst sin you can commit as a human being. They are uninteresting. They are unoriginal. They are non-thinking creatures who are out there to just be out there. Then enters the fucking Weeble, Brian Stelter, the human potato. He was on CNN with Wolf Blitzer to analyze what you just heard. Oh my goodness. Well, of course, the Weeble, what do you think he sees in there? This fucking planet of a white pimple on the ass of humanity. He's gotten himself a gravitational pull. Realistically, your neck should, unless you're a massive bodybuilder filled with steroids to the point that it would kill an elephant, your neck should never be better than the widest part of your head. Your head should not be pyramid-shaped unless you're a cartoon villain in an old Batman comic book. Yet that is what Brian Stelter is. And what's worse is even if he lost the weight, he wouldn't be anything other than gross-looking. So it's probably just his insides seeping out through there. So this frog of a human being, this missing link in the gene pool, goes on with Wolf Blitzer, and Wolf sits there silently just kind of agreeing because Wolf is a dumb person. And Brian Stelter says that the president telling Wei Jianzhang to ask China is racist. Why? Because Wei Jianzhang was born in China. And therefore, to say anything to anybody from born in China about go ask China, why, that has racial undertones, just like he once told you Michelle Cinder to go ask the Congressional Black Caucus like they're friends. Well, news fucking flash, they are friends. She does their bidding. If they aren't friends, then they're abusing her and just using her. She is a lock, stock, and barrel Democrat and also a bit of a racist. So, of course, she would fit in nicely blending at the annual ice cream social of the Congressional Black Caucus. Of course, you know, Brian Stelter doesn't give any context to any of that. And by the way, why is Brian Stelter talking about this when 2,000 Americans a day are dying? That should be the only thing anybody's talking about. But of course, Brian is a fucking hypocrite. Anyway, listen to Brian shit his panties and soil his suit. He's probably not actually wearing pants. He doesn't want to have them all let out. He has delusions of getting on slim fast. Listen to him make the assessment that the president of the United States has to have a problem with female reporters of color.
Well, clearly the president was rattled enough to walk off because he didn't want to hear the questions from Caitlin Collins and Wei Jianzhang. And I think what we saw in that exchange with Wei Jianzhang is something that has racial overtones. It is racist to look at an Asian American White House correspondent and say, ask China. This isn't happening in a vacuum. This is part of a pattern of behavior from the president that goes back many years. So he doesn't have the benefit of the doubt that someone might have if, for the first time ever in their life, they made a comment like that to a reporter. But the president has been rattled by Wei Jianzhang's questions in the past. He has treated her and other female reporters differently in the past. And he's also had this pattern of reacting to minority journalists in a very specific and different way, Wolf. For example, a few years ago, President Trump said to April Ryan, a black correspondent, to follow up with the Congressional Black Caucus because he kind of just assumed they were friends. And here today, he's saying to a Chinese-born journalist, ask China. Now, of course, he says he was directing it. He would have said the same thing to anyone. But the pattern suggests otherwise. The pattern suggests a racial reaction to certain individuals in the press corps.
If only we could all be as woke as the human fucking Weeble. One enema away from losing his final IQ points. Brian Stelter is a cunty little bitch. He is a whiny little schoolmarm. He's a white guy. Why is he white-splaining to these women and minorities how they feel and how they should feel and what's happening to them? You're not allowed to do that as a white guy, Brian, no matter how woke you are or how inverted your penis may be. You aren't allowed to tell women, especially women of color, how they should feel and how they are being victimized. You're the victimizer. You alleged penis. I mean, Brian Stelter and his wife set up Twitter accounts for their kids. Their kids are very young. One of them was just born this year or last year. How fucking narcissistic is that? That tells you everything you need to know about these people. They circle the chuck wagons and run off and will award themselves lovely little glass blocks etched with their names and congratulate one another about how wonderful they are. This is probably a clip that's going to win Wei Jianjiang her Pulitzer next year. Her first, likely of many, especially if Trump gets reelected. All of these people can take their awards and shove them sideways up whichever crack in their body they so choose. I don't care. I wish them bad things. They're bad people who deserve bad things. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. That's all the time we have for today. If you're a journalist, go fuck yourself. If you're not, come back tomorrow for another exciting episode. Thanks for listening.
We had this European virus attack us.